Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a kid, I grew up with two siblings, a younger brother and a younger sister, and my parents both had busy jobs and ended up having to work a lot. So as I got older, I was entrusted frequently with the responsibility of caring for these younger siblings at home. And I took great pride in this. I was very excited because, in a sense, I got to be lord of the house for these short times, and I got to be lord over my brother and sister. And so I would try to assert my authority and keep them in line. And inevitably, when I would try to do this, my sister would use her now famous line in our family, "You're not the boss of me." It didn't go very well. They didn't like being told what to do. They were independent. They didn't need their big brother's supervision or direction. They knew best, and they could make their own choices. Thank you very much. Looking back in hindsight, I wonder if my parents did this to give me a taste of my own medicine a little bit. But that's how it goes. We can be a fiercely independent lot, can't we, sometimes? We like to be in charge of our own lives and not be told what to do. I think part of this is just human nature. It's how we are. But I think also for us in our context and culture here in the United States, I think we get an extra hefty dose of that independent spirit here in our culture. You know what I mean? I mean, you think about other places and peoples around the world. I think about European culture, a place that was kind of grew up out of monarchies and having kings and lords in a feudal system. So kind of embedded in that culture is that expectation. As I traveled to different places in like Africa, I noticed they still identified as tribes a little bit and had this cultural thing embedded of having a chief over them. Although not as it was in the olden days, it's still kind of there in their context. Things like that. If there's any culture, I think, that struggles with this idea of having a king or submitting to a lord, I think it's probably us with our strong independent spirit. Like my sister used to say, "You can't tell me what to do." Now, I say this not necessarily as a critique, because I am an independent thinker and I'm quite proud of that, but just as a little awareness that when we come to this Sunday, Christ the King, we might have a little cultural road bump, speed bump, if you will, to understanding this concept as having a king over our lives, someone that reigns over us. So today, as we come to this feast day, Christ the King, we want to think about what does it mean to see Jesus as Lord over our lives, to submit to this King's leadership in all that we do. We talk about the kingdom of God frequently, and we talk about Jesus as King in song and scripture and worship. So today we want to consider this. What does that kingdom look like? What does this King and his kingship look like? Well, we have these readings today. We have this spectacular vision of what that looks like in Daniel and Revelation. We have this vision of God's reign that's glorious. There's brilliant light and fire, and there's this eternal cosmic vision. We see that the scope of God's reign is over all nations, all peoples, all languages, and even all time, the Alpha and the Omega. And yet, when we look at Jesus, we see that the king of this kingdom is this poor, ordinary Jewish man from a tiny nation, a person of humble origins and means, a person who dies the death of a nobody, a criminal. It's this strange dichotomy. In this king, we see none of the power that we would use by the world's definitions to define power, things like wealth or prestige or success or strength. So what's going on here with this seemingly contradicting message that we have from these scripture passages? Jesus names it and gets at it in his conversation with Pilate today. He says, "My kingdom is not from this world." Jesus is talking about much more than location here. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world, from this world," meaning it's not like any definition or understanding of kingdom or kingship that you might use. That's, I think, what he's saying to Pilate. And the dissonance that we see between these visions in Revelation and Daniel and then how Jesus is in the world, I think, is to show us that God's kingdom is indeed bigger, grander, more glorious, and more significant than anything we could ever imagine. But at the same time, it's not at all in the ways we might expect a kingdom or a king to be. And so we look at the distinction between our King Jesus and how the kings of the world throughout time tended to be. In this King Jesus, we see someone who dies willingly for his people. And especially in Jesus' day, the empires of the world and kings would often demand that their people would die for them in battle. This King Jesus, we see relinquishing all that he has and sharing with everyone that he can. And the kings of the world, especially then, would do what they would acquire for themselves and for their family. This king intentionally hands off his power and authority to his disciples to go out and do things in his name. And then through the Holy Spirit, the whole church, Jesus willingly shares this power and authority he has given from his Father. And the kings of this world tend to cling to that power for themselves and maintain it only for them. My kingdom is not of this world, he says. We talk about being Christians. Sometimes people use the word believers or people of faith. Some people even would say we have a relationship with Jesus. And these are all good words to describe what we are as Christians. But then today we examine what does it mean to have Jesus as Lord, as King, and for us to be people of that kingdom. One key place we can think about this is we examine our own lives and how we would make decisions and plans. What questions do we ask as we make plans for our future and our life? We might ask things like, what do I want? Or what's best for me? Or what's best for my family? Or how should we use the resources at our disposal, whether that's time or gifts or treasures? What do we like? What do we want our lives to look like in 5 years or 10 years or down the road? None of these are bad questions. But think about how they sound different if we're inserting into all of these questions this idea that Jesus is King and reigns over our lives. We might ask the same questions with a very different angle. We might say things like, what does God want? Where is God leading me or my family? Where is God calling us to use our resources and gifts? Where is God's work and kingdom moving that we're being called to join? How can we seek God's leadership more in our daily life so that our future will align with God's future for us? A word that comes to mind when I think about this is the word obedience. How can I be obedient to my Lord Jesus every day of my life? And there are so many pressures in the world that demand our obedience. Right? I mean, there are things out there. We might not have kings and kingdoms in the same way that Scripture describes today, but we certainly have other pressures in the world around us, in society, that demand our obedience and have these expectations over us. Whether that's for wealth or success, whatever that might mean, there's demands of how we should look in our appearance. There's expectations of what others think of us or what they expect from us. But for those of us that confess Jesus as King in our lives, there's a freedom in that. There's a freedom in letting go of the expectations and demands of all those other things and submitting to the obedience to our Lord Jesus and his purpose for our lives. Oftentimes, this obedience to this one true King means letting go of other things. Obedience to most of the world's demands seem to require this desperate clinging to self-preservation and survival. It's set up so that I would thrive. And yet the king and kingdom we follow leads to someplace totally different, leads to a cross. The Christian model of success, quite frankly, is a little bit nuts. Jesus' version of success was dying on a cross. But what we see is it's only through this dying that resurrection is possible. It's only after dying to self that the power of the resurrection breaks forth in our lives, completely different than the norm. Paul names how strange this is and speaks of it in his letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 1, he says this, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For Jews demand signs and Greeks wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, if you're anything like me, you might be tracking up to this point and saying, that sounds good, Josh, I get it. Jesus is King, Lord over our lives. This all makes sense, but then maybe you hit this wall like I do sometimes, and you say, okay, I get that, but how do I know? How do I hear where God is leading me? And that's a tough question sometimes. A few thoughts. Of course, first we hear, we seek God in prayer, right, as we pray. We seek God in Scripture by dwelling in God's Word and hearing what God has to say to us through that. But there's also this element of listening when we do these things as well. Recently, the guys that have been a part of Base Camp this fall, we've all downloaded the same Bible app on our phone that lets us be friends and share in daily devotions together and reading Scripture, and then we can comment and ask questions. It's been a neat way to connect throughout the week when we're busy. And we were recently reading something about prayer, and one of the guys in there mentioned that he realized as he was reading this how much his prayers are a lot of talking and a lot less listening and how he struggles with that. And all of us were like, yeah, I get it. I do a lot of God this, God that, and not a lot of listening sometimes. We can forget. So it's paying attention to what God is saying and how the Holy Spirit is moving in our heart, prompting us, getting our attention in the world. And then once we sense that God is saying something, then the next step is always discernment and talking with sisters and brothers, praying together, talking together, and saying, I think this is what God is saying. What do you think? I'm excited in our council meetings, we've started doing a little bit of this discernment work and thinking about what questions we ask. We're reading this book together called Shift. It's a book about how the world has dramatically shifted in the last century with all of the technological advances and all the things that have happened. And yet the church is the church. And how do we still be church finding ourselves in this new world that's a little bit like uncharted territory? It's a great and helpful book. One of the things at the outset the author talks about is the importance of asking the right questions. Think about how we might be tempted as we make decisions to ask questions like, how do we keep the same worship attendance that we've always had in the past? Or how can we get more volunteers and do more stuff? Or how do we do things that will keep people happy because we don't want anyone to be upset? These are all okay questions, but if Jesus is King and Jesus is Lord over our life, what questions might we ask? Again, they might sound different. Where is God leading us? What is God calling us to do as a church? Or maybe even to prune and let go of to make space for these things that God is calling us to lean into even more? Or where is God already working and moving out in the world beyond our walls and asking us to join in and be a part of it? We all want to see God's kingdom in our lives and in our world, right? And the way we do that is through that first line of our mission statement here at Good Shepherd. To what? To follow Christ. Submitting to Jesus, not just as friend or comfort or inspiration, but as Lord of our lives and Lord of all that we do, as our King. Recently, I had a little uncomfortable wrestling match with God. I don't know if any of you have ever had one of those. I do this frequently. By the way, God always wins. The record is like Josh 0, God 314 or something along those lines. So I was struggling and praying through some things. I realized how much I had been missing the mark when it came to God's kingdom. It was like God was saying to me, Josh, you want to see my kingdom, but you keep trying to force it to show up when and where you want on your terms. But my kingdom is moving and active in the world right now. If you want to see it, just go to where I'm working. Let go. Come and join me and be a part of what I'm doing. And I think that's why we do some of the things we do here at Good Shepherd, right? Pastor Rich mentioned at the beginning, we sent all this food through the generosity of people here to Wings and Love and Care Center. And I've heard from the folks that were a part of delivering that just how much they see God's kingdom moving in that ministry. That's why we support things like Magdalene House bravely, because we know the kingdom is breaking through in the lives of the women there. That's why we're leaning into this ministry at Shaw Elementary, because we sense that's where God is leading. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. So may you submit to the kingship of Jesus in your life so that you can know the freedom of the demands of this world. And as you follow in humble obedience to God's leadership, may you see the beauty of God's kingdom break forth in your life and in your community around you.